Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting from Alexandria, Virginia, just across the river from Washington, D.C., where two major events are happening on either side of the Potomac River. On the Washington side of the Potomac River, we have now the rules set forth for impeachment. We have due process for the president. He can get his story out. I kind of think he has already, and he's admitted to collusion and bribery. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. And we have the Republicans that are saying, hey, don't let anyone know the truth. We have to cover it up. We'll get to that, I promise. But on this side of the Potomac River, in Alexandria, Virginia, and throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia, Virginia is holding its 400th year of elections. This year, in 2019, marks the 400th year of the Virginia House of Burgesses, today called the Virginia House of Delegates. It began in Jamestown in 1619, and this year we have our 400th year. And every single seat in the Virginia House and Virginia Senate is up for grabs this Tuesday, November 5th. If you live in Virginia, you need to vote. You need to vote on Tuesday. If you can't make it on Tuesday, there's still absentee voting today, till about 5 in most locations. Some go into the evening, and there is absentee voting on Saturday, not on Sunday, not on Monday. Get out and vote. And you might say, well, these are two interesting stories, but there's no connection between them. I disagree. I think the Virginia elections this Tuesday, and to a lesser extent, those in Kentucky and Mississippi and New Jersey, and a week from now in Louisiana, those are the key to Trump's impeachment. How is that? How can that be? How can one connect to the other? Well, let me explain. The United States House of Representatives yesterday set up the rules for impeachment. And by majority vote, with every Democrat save two voting for it, one former Republican, Justice Amash, kicked out of his party because he supports the Constitution instead of the dictatorship of Donald Trump, who's now an independent. He voted with the Democrats, and the Republicans all voted no. And it's important, before I get to the connection to Virginia and the states, to understand exactly what happened yesterday. So for about a month, and it's only been about a month, the Democrats, the American people, have been aware that Donald Trump bribed and extorted the government of Ukraine using U.S. tax dollars in order to compel them to intervene in our election by making up a fraudulent investigation into Donald Trump's opponent that he most fears, Joe Biden, and his son. Now, the important part of that is it is illegal to solicit any foreign help in any election. You can't even take a $10 campaign contribution from someone you know to be a foreigner. Resident aliens, people who have green cards in the United States are allowed to donate to campaigns. But a foreign government? Absolutely not. I can't even take a donation. I'm a Virginia state delegate. I represent Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax in the Virginia House of Delegates. I can't even take a $10 donation from an English friend of mine living in England. Can't do it. It's, of course, far worse when it's an entire government. And Donald Trump was soliciting the government of Ukraine to help him in his campaign. That's already a crime. But of course, Donald Trump did a lot worse than that, right? He was bribing the government of Ukraine. He was bribing the government of Ukraine to say, hey, I'll give you something very, very important to you, namely military aid that you need because the Russians have occupied the eastern part of Ukraine. The Russians have invaded Ukraine. Ukraine needs to fight back. They need anti-tank missiles, other military help. And I will give you that aid. I will bribe you with that aid if you help intervene in our U.S. elections on my side. But it's worse than bribery, because bribery, at least most people who bribe do it with their own money. Hey, politician, here's $10 million. Now you get me what I need. Trump is worse than ordinary bribery because he's not even bribing with his own cash, right? If he's going to bribe Ukraine to get involved in U.S. elections, which is illegal to do, he can at least pay them out of his own pocket. He's got some money. No, he's bribing them with our money, with our dollars. He is stealing hundreds of millions of dollars in United States taxpayer funds in order to bribe Ukraine to intervene in the elections on his side. But it's worse than that, too, because it's also extortion. Extortion is also a federal crime. Extortion is more commonly known as blackmail. It's the same thing. Blackmail is just the common way of referring to extortion. What is extortion? Extortion or blackmail is when it says, hey, buddy, I know you love your family. I know you care about them. But I want you to do me a favor, though. You would not want to see your family have any harm done to them. And you know I could harm your family. But I need you to do me a favor, though. I need you to intervene in the United States elections. I need you to make up dirt. It's not true, but it doesn't matter. I need you to create a phony investigation to my primary political opponent. That will help me get to victory. And nothing will happen to your family, even though Russia's invaded. By the way, did I just pose a quid pro quo? Did you think it was a quid pro quo? Republicans would say no. I didn't say I will harm your family unless you help intervene in the elections. I didn't say that. I just said you love your family and you care about your family. But I need you to do me a favor, though. In other words, I phrased it exactly as the president did. And if you thought it sounded like a quid pro quo, that's because it did. But very few quid pro quos, something this for that, that's what the Latin means, quid pro quo, this for that, something for something else, says, I will not give you the aid unless you investigate the Bidens. Even the mafia doesn't talk like that, right? It's more, I know you want that aid, and I know you want to meet with me. I know you want to show Vladimir Putin that you have United States support so he doesn't come in and invade and kill tens of thousands of more Ukrainians than the Russians have already killed when they invaded the eastern half of Ukraine. I know you care about that. I need you to do me a favor, though. Though, it's critical here. It's not just a drop-off, right? I mean, if somebody says, hey, Mark, I need you to help me. My family's in danger. These Russians are trying to kill my family. I need you to help me stop them. And I say, no, I know you need that. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to make up dirt on my political opponent. That already sounds like a quid pro quo. But what if I said, I need you to do me a favor, though? You want your help? I need you to do me a favor, though. Though you want my help, I need you to do me a favor. Ties the two together. It's not just, oh, we're talking about your family in need, and I need you to do me a favor, help the Bidens. And even though they occur in the same conversation, they really have no connection. I need you to do me a favor, though. I need you to pretend this conspiracy theory I have that Ukraine somehow hacked into our elections in 2016 instead of the Russians. I need you to say the Russians weren't guilty. The Russians are fine. Putin's a good guy because he helped Trump. I need you to pretend he didn't help Trump, and I need you to make up dirt on the Bidens. I need you to do me a favor, though. And you don't just have to take Donald Trump's word for it on that phone call. You could also take Donald Trump's word for it in the driveway of the White House, where he expressly said, yeah, I was trying to get Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. I was also trying to get China to investigate the Bidens. And by the way, my attorney general, Bill Barr, who's supposed to, by the way, be the Attorney General for the United States, not Donald Trump's personal attorney, the way Rudy Giuliani is. Both Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and his Attorney General, Bill Barr, were working together to help Trump in his campaign by extorting and bribing Ukraine, Russia, China, Italy, and Great Britain, and to a lesser extent, Australia, all of those countries, to intervene in our elections. And working with Rudy Giuliani, who's the president's lawyer, and doesn't have any portfolio in the government? Why is Rudy Giuliani conducting our foreign policy? Why is he withholding aid? He's not supposed to do that. That's supposed to come from the Secretary of State, from Mike Pompeo, who also is telling people, hey, work with Giuliani. We can't have this on the books. If the American people knew we were using foreign policy and all of our foreign service and all these taxpayer dollars and all these appropriations and using it not for national security, but to help the Trump campaign, the American people might be upset by that. So, hey, Zelensky, work with Giuliani. He'll tell you what to do. Work with Bill Barr. Now, you don't just have to take Trump's word for it. You can listen to Gordon Sondland, who worked for Donald Trump, who gave $1 million to the Trump campaign in order to be an ambassador. You can listen to Ambassador Taylor. You can listen to Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, who was forced out of the way, this career servant who worked under Republicans, who worked under Democrats, forced out of the way because she didn't want any part of these shenanigans. There's Morrison. There's Vindner. Vindner has a purple heart. Has a purple heart. Died serving this country. He didn't die. He was wounded serving the country in the military, risking life and limb. And now Republicans say he's a spy. These are all Republicans. Vindner. And now, you just wait. You wait until John Bolton testifies. Now, I'm not a fan of John Bolton. John Bolton is kind of a warmonger. John Bolton is a right-wing neoconservative person who supported the war in Iraq and all these things I didn't support. But my disagreements with John Bolton are about policy. John Bolton, to his credit, said, I don't want any part of this drug deal that Chief of Staff Mulvaney and Giuliani are cooking up. I don't want to be part of this quid pro quo where we use the power of the U.S. government to extort and bribe foreign officials to intervene in our election. I don't want any part of it. I give him credit for that. I disagree with Bolton on policy strongly. But the man does not believe in acting outside the confines of the law, outside the confines of the Constitution. The evidence, my friend, is overwhelming between Vindman and Sondland, between Morrison and Bolton, between Marie Yovanovitch and Taylor and Donald Trump himself, and Giuliani, and Bill Barr, and Mike Pompeo, and all the transcripts. And we're just starting. The Democrats are ready to put this all before the public, and they're still deposing people. The evidence is overwhelming. When we come back from break, I want to explore why, with overwhelming evidence, Republicans still don't seem to want to defend the Constitution. What's their issue? And what do the Virginia elections this Tuesday have anything to do with any of this? All of that when we come back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Yesterday, the United States House of Representatives put down the procedures for the impeachment inquiry. Now, Congress obviously has a right to get information, and I've been getting it all along. The Republicans were complaining. They were saying that, well, wait, you're doing this all in secret. Well, it wasn't really in secret. One quarter of every Republican in the House, one fourth of them, there's about 190 or so, and about 50 or so, were actually in the room, or to be fair, invited into the room, to hear all of the evidence. Now, some of them didn't go. We don't want to know the truth, they said. We need to know the truth, they also said. We need to storm the place, because we need to find out the truth that we already know. Because they're letting us in to ask half the questions. And if this doesn't make sense to you, you're intelligent. If it does make sense to you, I suggest you see a doctor as soon as possible. It does not make any sense. Why would you demand to open up hearings that you're already participating in? Why would you refuse to participate in hearings that you have a right to attend and then complain that you can't hear what you chose not to hear? Doesn't make sense. The reason why the Democrats had hearings in secret, semi-secret, kind of secret, I mean, both sides were leaking them and one-fourth of the Republicans were in the room, was mostly to keep witnesses from changing their testimony. It's the same reason why when police do investigations and maybe three or four people in a gang commit a crime, they separate them and they talk to gang member A separately from gang member B. They don't let them hear each other because then they could get their stories straight. In fact, impeachment would be less persuasive if they were all done in public because Republicans who complain, witness B just copied the testimony from witness A and witness C copied B and A, and since they all hate Trump, even though they're Republicans and even though they're conservatives, I guess they hate Trump because they believe the corruption is bad, because they put the country ahead of Trump. For whatever reason, it allows witnesses to coordinate their testimony. Heck, you can even go to a civil case. Even a civil case in, even a criminal case, actually. If you try, lawyers know this, you, except for the defendant who can be in the room, the individual witnesses can't hear one's testimony, one from the other, because you want to be able them to give their independent recollections and not base them on what someone else said. But that's only for the preliminary process. The defendant has an absolute right to hear everything when the trial begins. The trial begins in the Senate after impeachment. And the Democrats are going one further, doing something that Republicans didn't do for Clinton. Frankly, Democrats didn't do for Nixon. The House didn't do this in either of the two modern impeachment inquiries of modern times. They are actually now going to bring it all before the public. That's what yesterday's vote was about, to tell the entire American people, to show them witness after witness after witness, all really saying the same thing, at least according to leaked reports. Namely, there was an express quid pro quo, whereby Donald Trump said, Ukraine, I'm going to bribe you with U.S. taxpayer funds to extort you in order to get you to intervene in the elections on my behalf. They're all saying the same thing. So you might say, well, when Democrats voted to make this all public, you'd think the Republicans would join in. For a month now, they've complained, let the public find out, have a vote. So Democrats decided to have a vote. And they put forward a formal vote in the House of Representatives that said, everything's public. The president and his lawyers can be there. They can ask witnesses. Everyone can hear everything and more due process than Clinton or Nixon ever got. And Republicans said, no, we don't want due process because they don't have an answer. For 1 month, they've been saying, open up the proceedings. For 1 month, they've been saying, let both sides participate. For 1 month, they've been, and of course, they were participating, Republicans, 50 of them. Now, 200 of them can participate, or 190. And they can hire their own counsel. And the president can be there. And his counsel can be there. And the witnesses will testify and open. And everyone will find out what happened. Republicans are saying, wait, no, wait. We don't want it in secret. We don't want it in open. We do not like green eggs and ham. We do not like them, Nancy Pelosi. We don't want the American public to know what the president did because we know he's corrupt. He said so in public. Please, don't let the American people know the truth. If they do and we defend him, they're not going to elect us anymore. More into the mind of a Republican when we come back by conservative George Will.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So I've set out the evidence for impeachment. I've set out the evidence clearly showing that the president of the United States was bribing a foreign official, namely the president of Ukraine, not just a foreign official, bribing an entire country, extorting them by threatening to withhold funds that Congress had appropriated for the military defense of Ukraine that is being invaded by Russia right now. Critical needs to save the lives of his people. He was bribing Ukraine. You want to save some lives? Or do you want people to be murdered by the Russians? Do you want your citizens not to be murdered? Okay, you got to intervene in the U.S. elections and make up bogus investigations to help my campaign. Quid pro quo. The evidence is overwhelming. It's interesting. The Republicans complain about the leaks, but they don't claim the leaks are untrue. And then they say this needs to be public, but then they voted against making it public yesterday. And then they say, well, some of them say there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong. There's nothing impeachable about bribing a federal official. What's so impeachable about that? Well, they have a problem. You see, the Constitution defines what is required to be an impeachable offense. It says that Congress shall impeach and the Senate shall remove from office any president involved in treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And so they're like, well, it's not a high crime or misdemeanor. Maybe. I happen to think blackmail and extortion are high crimes and misdemeanors. But we don't even have to go there. The Constitution specifically says the president shall be impeached for bribery. It's bribery, right? They name treason, they name bribery, and they name other high crimes and misdemeanors. Even if bribing a foreign official to intervene in our elections is not a high crime and misdemeanor, it's still bribery. Is bribery bribery? Yes, bribery is bribery. It may also be treason, right? It's certainly betraying the United States. Now, some say, well, Mark, technically treason requires us to be at war with another country. Are we really at war with Russia? I would say we are at war with Russia. We've been in a Cold War with Russia for 60 years. But you don't have to argue treason. You don't have to argue high crimes and misdemeanors. Bribery is bribery. So Republicans are in a bend of trouble because the facts all say that the president is guilty, guilty, guilty. So first they say, we don't know these facts are true. You won't bring them out into the open. So Democrats say, okay, let's vote to bring them out in the open. They say, no, we vote to cover it up. And then you watch their arguments going to change. Yeah, the president's guilty. Yeah, the president's corrupt. Yeah, the president's done bribery. But it's not a high crime or misdemeanor. It's not an impeachable offense. Here's the problem. Bribery is expressly an impeachable offense in the United States Constitution. So Republicans are in a bind. They swore an oath to uphold the Constitution. And yet the Constitution says the president shall be impeached if he is guilty of bribery. It also has other things in it, which says the president can't take any foreign gift, otherwise known as an emolument. And we know the president has been trying very hard through his hotels and so forth. He's taken millions of dollars from foreign officials, millions of dollars in emoluments. Just the other day, he tried to do it again by putting the G7, this wonderful trade agreement, trade meeting where the seven most powerful nations in the world meet. They do it every year, and putting it at his hotel so he could directly profit from it. So he's got a lot to be impeached for. And the question is whether Republicans are going to uphold their oath to the Constitution. The question is, why isn't this knocked down, clearly shut case? This isn't a question of, well, the president cheated on his wife. Is cheating on your wife, is that sufficient for removing a president of the United States? By the way, Franklin Delano Roosevelt cheated on his wife. Eisenhower cheated on his wife. Kennedy cheated on his wife. George Bush Sr. cheated on his wife. So it wasn't just Bill Clinton. These aren't good things. But there's a real question of whether adultery is an impeachable offense, right? There's a real question of whether you should be able to force someone in a civil trial to talk about their private sexual life. None of these issues with Clinton are the same as bribery, treason, abuse of power, obstruction of justice, using the full might and weight of the U.S. military to threaten a foreign government, to say, you're going to have a whole bunch of your citizens murdered by your enemy Russia that's invaded your country unless you put your finger, your thumb on the U.S. election, calling on China to commit espionage, calling on Russia to commit espionage. So these are very serious offenses. And there's no doubt in my mind that Republicans, if a Democratic president had committed these offenses, would be all over it. Remember, they complained that Hillary Clinton, I don't understand their complaint, that Hillary Clinton had people working for her that didn't adequately worry about the security of a temporary consulate in Benghazi when four people were tragically murdered, and that she needed, 3 years and hundreds of hours of testimony over that? Well, they just said that to harm her. She wasn't even involved in the security for a specific embassy. And the emails? What were the email scandal? It's really complex. She put it on a private server, and that was bad because it could have been hacked, but it wasn't hacked. And in fact, our actual secure servers were hacked. And well, anyway, she was completely exonerated for whatever parking ticket she did there. This is serious stuff. This is bribing a foreign country. This is extorting them to interfere in our elections, to say we can't have free and fair elections because we're committing espionage. We're encouraging foreign people to commit espionage. Ask a Republican, do you think it's wrong to bribe a foreign leader, to extort a foreign government, to get them to intervene in our elections? I asked this of the Virginia Republican Party, and they still haven't answered me. They don't answer the question because they know it's wrong. They can't say yes, it's they can't say no, it's not wrong, because what? It's not wrong? It's okay for the President of the United States to use the foreign power of the government to intervene in our elections? Really? They're not going to admit to that. You'd be crazy to admit to that. But they can't say it's not wrong because they know the President did it. So how do they get out of this bind? To answer that question, you don't have to listen to me. I'm liberal. I'm a progressive. Listen to conservative George Will. Many of you know George Will. George Will is that rare combination of intellectual and conservative. And he's both. He's a very smart guy. I disagree with George Will on a number of policy issues. But he gives good argument. He argues logically. He doesn't argue ad hominem attacks. You're a libtard. He doesn't do that. He intellectually represents, as best he can, the conservative position. But George Will is more than a conservative. He actually is a patriotic American first. He loves his country more than he loves the Republican Party. He would rather see the Constitution be upheld and the laws of America be upheld. He would rather we remain a republic than give it all up in order to get Republicans reelected, because he understands that the goal of politics is not to get Republicans or Democrats reelected, but to actually do something. Well, let him explain.
Just getting the articles of impeachment to the Senate would require Republican senators, and there are 53 of them, to stand up and say one way or another what they think is important. They have been enablers of Mr. Trump by their silence. One reason the Republican Party has been so docile, so supine, so invertebrate with this president is fear. It's a great motivator, fear. The Republican Party has had lots of factions throughout the 20th century. Today, however, there are no factions. It's all Trump all the time. In fact, at the 500-day mark of the Reagan presidency, Reagan had the support of 77% of Republicans. At the 500-day mark of the Trump presidency, Trump had the support of 87% of Republicans. So expecting this party to suddenly decide that Mr. Trump is to be opposed publicly, vigorously, and with the highest of stakes, that is, possession of the presidency itself, is asking rather a lot. It's an old axiom that some people are in politics to do something and others are in politics to be something. And I think at any given time, in most parties, most of the people in office want to be something. That's enough. They like the Capitol Police saluting them. They like wearing the little lapel button and all the rest. Therefore, for them, keeping their job is their prime motivator. And they know what happens when you get crosswise with Donald Trump. You become crosswise with your own electoral base. Senator Corker of Tennessee is now ex-Senator Corker. Senator Flake of Arizona is now ex-Senator Flake. Congressman Sanford of South Carolina is now ex-Congressman Sanford. They got crosswise with Trump, and they are now out of politics.
Okay, so you hear what George Will is saying. He's saying they know the right thing. They know the Constitution. They know their president's corrupt. But the question is whether they want to do something or be something. People who want to do something want to make changes or not make changes. They want America to be a certain way. They have a certain vision. Maybe they believe that children should be separated from their parents and locked up in cages, or maybe they feel that's wrong. I happen to feel that's wrong. Maybe they believe that women's bodies belong to the government and the government could tell them when they can have children or not. Or they believe, like I do, that women are human beings and should have the right to control their own bodies. Maybe they believe that every terrorist and gang member should be able to buy AK-47s and shoot as much as they like. And until they hurt someone, they can just have 100-bullet drums. Some of us want better gun regulation. These are issues that divide the parties. But the heart of being a politician, and I am one of them now, was a citizen activist and radio host for decades before I was a politician, is whether you want to do something or be something. Are your principles more important than your self-interest or not? People who want to do something put their principles above their self-interest. People like Mitt Romney, who I disagree with, a conservative, loves his country more than his party, and so he's willing to call out Donald Trump. You just heard George Will mention ex-Senator Jeff Flake, ex-Congressman Samford. May he rest in peace, Senator John McCain. He didn't mention him, but someone else who stood up to Donald Trump. What ex-Senator Bob Corker, what George Will is saying is that if you stand up for your principle, if you stand up for truth, you're going to lose your base. And if you're going to lose your base, you can't get reelected. So, if you care more about being something, being a United States Senator, wearing the lapel pin, getting protected by the Capitol Police, if it's the trappings of power that you like, and as a Virginia delegate, yeah, I get to serve in Thomas Jefferson's house. I mean, he built the Virginia House of Delegates, and I get to sit where George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison once sat. It's a pretty heady experience. But that's not why I'm a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. I'm a member of the Virginia House of Delegates because I want to change things. I want all those things you heard about. I want better gun regulation. I want the Equal Rights Amendment to become law. I want to raise the minimum wage. I want criminal justice reform. I want to do something about climate change and on down the line. And if I ever had to choose between keeping my job and obeying my principles, I like to think I'd stick up for my principles. I think I've shown that in the past. But there are lots of people that just want the job, which is kind of crazy. It doesn't pay that much. Okay, Congress pays a lot more than the Virginia House of Delegates. We get under $20,000 a year. We get virtually nothing. They get like $170,000. But some people go into Congress in order to profit. They go through the revolving door. They become lobbyists afterwards. They use their ties to lobby others, and instead of making six figures, they make seven figures. They make millions off their influence. Those are people who don't want to do anything. They want to profit. I would argue that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, became president, ran for president just to profit, just so he could do an infomercial for his Trump steaks or Trump vodka or Trump hotels. That's why he ran for office. And he got it, and now he's using it with emoluments to profit thereby. But people who put principle ahead of profit, people who put principle above being somebody, well, they're going to have to make a hard choice. And George Will goes on to explain that.
I believe, and have so written, that the damage Mr. Trump has done by the things he has said and the way he has said them and the kind of discourse he has normalized does more lasting damage and more serious damage than Richard Nixon's surreptitious felonies did.
It's a pretty damning statement from a conservative.
Just getting the articles of impeachment to the Senate would require Republican senators, and there are 53 of them, to stand up and say one way or another what they think is important. They are motivated, I'm sure, not by affection for Mr. Trump. There's none of that. But they are motivated by fear of the Republican base, which is thoroughly enthralled by the president. If Mr. Trump were to say, Minneapolis is in Idaho, and the sun revolves around the earth, I think the vast majority of Senate Republicans would tug their forelocks, salute, and say, we agree, sir. So the first thing that would happen is the articles of impeachment being brought to a vote would require Republicans to clarify themselves. They have so far sought hard to not have clarity. This would bring it. Second, a lot of Congress's muscles have atrophied from disuse. It can conduct its oversight duties using the considerable power to compel testimony. That is also at issue right now. And it's quite conceivable that by the time this is done, the president's refusal to comply with Congress in its legitimate oversight function by resisting subpoenas and other matters will become itself an article of impeachment. Any time the Democrats spend talking about impeachment, they're not talking about health care, prescription drug prices, jobs, growth, the environment, etc. We in the Washington bubble assume that the American people are as preoccupied with these things as we are. We do not recognize just how weird we are who live in Washington and pay obsessive attention to all the ripples on the pond of our politics. Most Americans don't. Most Americans shouldn't. Most Americans are raising children and washing the car and fixing the screen door and getting on with life.
Let me stop it right there for a second. So while he's right that many ordinary Americans are not watching this and are busy taking the kids to school and washing their car, here's where I disagree with George Will. They need to be concerned. When the president of the United States is fundamentally corrupt and sacrificing national security to line his own pockets, I think we have to be concerned. When we are surrendering to our greatest enemies in order to make the president rich, we have to be concerned. When the Congress of the United States, as George Will explains, is willing to say black is white and night is day in order to tell a president, a clearly corrupt president, he's not guilty, we have a serious problem in America. So maybe they need to look up Americans from washing their cars and taking their kids to school and recognize our republic is in danger. When we come back, I'll tell you how Virginia elections fit into all of this, can actually be the key to impeaching the president, removing him from office. This is Mark Levin, right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So we've talked at length about the tremendous evidence that Donald Trump should be impeached or removed from office and why Republicans refuse to listen. It's not because the evidence is not great. It's not because the crimes aren't real. It's because they want to be reelected. And that, my friends, is the key to why the Virginia elections this Tuesday matter, and also those in Kentucky, Mississippi, New Jersey. Virginia, let's face it, is a purple state. So New Jersey is going to remain blue. Mississippi is going to remain red. Kentucky, that'd be a miracle. That'd be really good if we win the Kentucky governorship. But in Virginia, we have the chance to change 400 years of conservative power by having the Democrats take over in the Virginia Senate and House. And why does that matter? Remember, Republicans know Donald Trump did wrong. They don't love the guy. They know he's not very smart, and they know he's corrupt. The only reason Republicans are sticking with him is because they think you, the voters, want them to. They'll say black is white. They'll say Minneapolis is in Idaho. You heard George Will. They'll repeat any number of lies if they think you believe them. But what happens if you show you're smarter than that? What happens if we have a landslide in Virginia? What happens if we not only take the Virginia House and Senate, but win 51, 52, 53, 55, 57 seats? Then Republicans all across the nation will see, oops, defending Donald Trump does not help us politically. George Will said we'll sacrifice all our morals to get reelected. What if we don't get reelected? What if in this democracy the American people actually stand up and say corruption is wrong and vote in droves for Democrats this Tuesday, November 5th in Virginia? A bunch of Republicans in the Senate might then get scared of you, the American people, and might do the right thing, convict and remove Donald Trump from office. Stay tuned. Vote on Tuesday.